Good evening. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before we ever begin this evening. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the good blessings you give us. We ask you to forgive us of our many sins and help us to concentrate on you more. Help us to realize how much you do love us and what you did for us. And you do love every one of us, even though if we're not living right, you love us still, and we know that, and we appreciate it. And if we are, just have us found faithful in the end and forgive us of all these sins that we commit along the way, and help us to do better, as was said earlier, in 2022 than we did in 2021. Lord, be with the Sheltons. Help us to rally around Bugs and Meg and give them all the support that we can give them. Help us to also rally around the Mills family. Lord, you know we miss him. He was a good man, and he left a good example that we need to follow. And in retrospect, I look back and realize that he did a lot for all of us here that we will realize down the road. Forgive us of our many sins, and just help us to be better Christians when we leave this building tonight and in the future. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tonight it's something that all of you have heard. We're going to do what we used to do at work was called annual refresher training. So, and I hated it because I got behind, but it was a week away from work and everybody had to go. I don't care if you were a doctor or you were a nurse or you were a psychiatrist or a case manager or the warden, you had to go to annual training. So kind of tonight, and I'm hoarse because I haven't been taking my acid reflux medicine like I should, so bear with me. Tonight, the lesson's entitled, Five Reasons I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. I'm not going to pick on anybody here tonight. I was, but I'm not. So, Scott, you can relax, because you know I'd go to you first. So I'm not going to, but just let's just start this lesson off this way. And I know if you haven't have, and it's not any kind of punishment, it was just, why are you a member of the Church of Christ? What would you say? What would be your answer? That's number one. We're a member of God's family. It's just like I've heard, but I think I'd just rather say, hey, I'm trying to live a Christian life than say I'm a Church of Christ. We attend the Church of Christ. The first reason, and some of you, I'm just going to tell you right now, I got this lesson from Phil Sanders on a Sunday morning. I didn't mimic it. I just used the title. I steal everything I can, and I admit it. But it was taken from one of his sermons, and it's not exactly it, but I used the subject matter because that's why I call this annual refreshing. But number one is what we talked about already tonight. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because Jesus loves the church. He loved it so much, he was willing to go to the cross for us. Ephesians 5:25 through 30 says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. 26 goes on to say, to make her holy by cleansing her, by the washing with water through the world, and to present her is a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Verse 28, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. Now that's a lot, because we love ourselves a lot. We try to take care of ourselves and do everything that we're supposed to. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. So this is why, number one reason to go on, that we are members. Okay, we're members, we're each a part of a body. If you remember when Jesus was preaching his ministry and he knew what the end result was going to be, he did a lot of healing to present his authority, to show people, I'm different. I've come from here. As Jim talked about Nicodemus going to him in the garden, and we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But Mark 3:35 says, who are my mother and my brother? And we talked about this not long ago in Bible class, he asked. Then he looked at those who were seated in a circle and said, Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father is my mother and my brother. That's pretty simple. That's nothing complicated. That's one statement. You think about that, and I'm not going to, but if you do what God tells you to do, you're my brother or you're my sister. Okay, 1 Timothy 3:15, if you want to turn there. This is Paul speaking. He instructs the church how to act in the same way. These are along the same lines as point one. You're given a reason. Why, number one reason why you're a member of the Church of Christ. If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household. He's speaking to the church. The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. That's your foundation. Paul was delayed a lot. You know that. He was coming to churches. They wrote letters. I don't know how these letters got to churches or how he informed them, but he said, if I'm delayed, you are members and you both know how to act. But we have to have each other to help one another act right. That's why fellowship is so important. Okay, that's basically the first reason. So we ought to love the church as much as Jesus did, and he loved it a lot, to be willing to go to the cross and give himself up for it. Okay, reason number two. I am a member because Jesus is my Lord, and I serve him only. Now, we know God is a jealous God. God forgives, and only Jesus gives eternal life. If he does that, I must follow him. So, the second reason, I am a member because Jesus is my Lord, and I serve him only. There's no, you know, in Peter it says there's no mediator. It's Jesus. There's no man. And tonight, I'm just listing these reasons. I'm not going to get subjective about it. I'm going to be objective. But I will say this. You can't see Preacher Bob about it. You got to see the Lord about it. I was in 1987 and 88. I went to a campaign, and I may have shared this with y'all, in Moss Bluff, Louisiana. They had established the church. I stayed a week. I had an 8-hour Bible study with a guy that was in the oil field. His wife came out every hour trying to run me off. And he told her, he says, no, he's going to stay. I want to listen to what he has to say. And so a guy from the church brought us lunch over there. They put out an APB after me because I went in my own car, separated from, didn't know where I was at, hadn't seen me for hours, and they finally saw my car at the house. So when they saw it, they brought lunch back. But at the end of that day, he said, I'm going to go see my preacher, and I'll be back, and you come back in the morning. I want you back here. Okay? And he almost went to the building and got baptized. And a very devout Christian says, Mike, if he does not go today, he will not go. So sure enough, the next morning I went back and met him. He said, I've studied with my preacher. I don't need to do anything else. I'm okay. So my point of all that short story is, it's not Preacher Bob, it's the Bible. And I think Kevin or Jim or anybody else will tell you the same thing. You got to work this out yourself. It's also said in the Bible to make your calling and your election sure. with that, John 14:6 says, along with that same line is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, also to give you more information on that, is salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. In Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like, this goes back to the Timothy verse I read, is like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. So Christians are to be counted as wise because of this. In Matthew 16, he said, this is my church. I will build this church upon the rock, and nobody's going to destroy it. So a wise man will build his foundation on that. In Matthew 7:21, which we've all heard, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father who is already in heaven. Why do you call me? And Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So we're going to talk about, now you, and this is also serving the Lord. Question number two. And this goes right along with it. He gives them some commandments. This is not tradition that I'm discussing here that I'm fixing to talk with you about. He says this. In my second, one of the commandments is immersion. What do we mean by immersion? Acts 2:38. I bet some of you in here can quote it by scripture and verse. Peter's preaching and they thought he was drunk. And they said, it's only the ninth hour. He don't know what he's saying. Well, he told everyone there to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. And 3,000 were saved that day. So this is when the Lord's church was established. And it also says, it goes on to read in the rest of those scriptures, that they had fellowship with one another every day. They shared everything they had together. They did that. And they built one another up. They do the same thing we do here on Wednesday night. They build one another up. To repeat about immersion, Peter said to them, and a lot of these people were Jews, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for what? The remission of your sins. Forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, after you do this, does this make you perfect? No, because you're still going to sin. Does it mean that you every little sin? I had somebody very close to me say not long ago, and we really had a heart-to-heart talk about it. He said, Michael, I feel sorry for some of y'all because y'all just don't think you're saved like we do. And I told you I'd be objective and I'm going to be. I said, we feel just as good about our salvation as you do. Believe me. But we know that we have to ask forgiveness and have the right frame of mind to make it. And I'm not saying you don't, but you have to be aware that you can fall away from God. Galatians 5:4 says that. I mean, I know that that a lot of us have been taught and it's in my family too, that once saved is always saved. And that don't mean I dislike anybody because I disagree with them. It's because my path of salvation is different from them. I hope that doesn't make us enemies. Nobody, but we have to follow the path to salvation. Mark 15 and 16 also along with immersion, and I'm going to read an article in a minute. He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel. There is a great commission again to every creature. He who believes, and we've all heard it, and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So if you believe, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it because you come in contact with the Holy Spirit through baptism. Colossians 3:16 also says, let the word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom and teaching. And I'm going to go on and read the rest of that in a minute, but not right now. But we have to study. We have to study the Bible. We have to study the Word to really know everything that we're supposed to do to be saved. I'm going to discuss reason number three. I've discussed two. Number three is I'm a member of the Lord's church because Jesus adds the saved to the church. He adds us. There again, I'm keeping this objective. How did he do it? I just read. He added 3,000 people in one day. He adds the saved to his church when they do what he says to do. Those who accepted the message, and I've already discussed 3,000, but if you go on and look at Romans 15 and 14, Paul said to the Gentiles, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourself are full of goodness, not the Jews, but the Gentiles, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Once we become Christians and we're added to the body, after we're added, and this is the third reason, we must encourage each other. That's what they did in Acts 2:38. They shared their possessions If you read on down in 41 and 42, it talks about how they had fellowship. They didn't have a church building back then. They had fellowship with one another in their homes. They gave each other what they had. That's pure, that's good fellowship. We had to help each other. That's why Hebrews 10:25, which I will discuss here in a minute, is so important. And I know that our elders have set aside a time for us to come here. So the other commands that we follow also is we are immersed. We sing and make melody in our hearts when we come here. Colossians 3:16, which I read half of a while ago. The other half talks about this. And this is the way we also teach. We did it tonight before we got up here. Let Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's all it says. That's all I'm going to say. That's what it says to do. And this is not starting to argue with anyone. I was in a church in 88, and I had a good relationship with everybody in there. And a lady stood up and said, there are examples in the New Testament, all in examples of New Testament with instrument music, instruments of worship with music, instruments in the church. And I'm not here to argue. The only other place that I see that is Revelation 9, and it is figurative, and it is John on the island of Patmos, and there are trumpets. Angels make a sound like trumpets, but it's him seeing a vision. And it's, we're, as far as teaching and admonishing in Colossians 3:16, and here again in Ephesians 5:19, it says to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We make a cappella music. We don't go above and beyond. That's all we do. And that's what is mentioned here. Okay, we also give of our means. We do that in our worship. When we do that, we come together and we give every Sunday. And there is a verse, I think, for James 1:26-27, if you want to turn there, that's one of the most important ones that I like. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep one's self unspotted from the world. That's pure religion. That's what I need to learn. I'm not up here preaching to you all. I'm preaching to me. Just because that I've been in that baptistry and coming up and walked my way does not make me perfect. It makes me a forgiven sinner. And that's all. But to go on and talk about giving of our means, our elders here, I found out the other day it's Foster's Home. I was just in there and I asked, who are we supporting now? And it said Foster's Home. And so we do support the orphans. We need to be visiting the widows of our church. And I've failed on that. I have, but not like I should. We need to see about their needs. We need to know if something needs to be done. We've been there. And I know some of you in this congregation have done a very good job of that. Also in relation to giving is 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart. And here's what it's more important than anything about giving. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So we have to do that. So I've talked about immersion. I've talked about singing and making melody in our heart, and there's a lot more to this. I've talked about pure religion. I've talked about giving. There's also the Lord's Supper. How many times have you been confronted with this? I know I have a lot. Now, why do y'all partake of the Lord's Supper? Every time, don't that get redundant and you don't get the same out of it? Well, let's go back to the festival. It was the first day of the, I can't think of the name of it. It's when the Jews got together. It's when Christ was crucified. Somebody help me out, and I don't care if you say it, but it was the festival that the Jews had. Huh? The Passover, thank you. The first day of this Passover. They're all sitting around. And on the first day of the week, and as they were, I don't mean the first day of the week, the first day of the Passover. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He blessed it and he broke it. And this is in Matthew 26, 26 and 27. If you want to go back there and reference this, and I think you should, I'll give you a little time. Because, and if anybody has a difference with this, and I've worked mine out with fear and trembling to realize, why do we do this on the first day of the week? If you take 26, and this is more of a study than a sermon. If you take Matthew 26 and 27 and you tie it in with 20 and 7 of Acts, you're going to get why we do it on the first day of the week. He's getting ready to be crucified at the Passover. It's a festival of the Passover. There's all kinds of festivals. People were also coming here to pay taxes they didn't want to pay. But anyway, on this first day, he's sitting there eating, and he said, and Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and says, take, eat, this is my body. And they were taking bread. Now look at Acts 20 and verse 7. This is not a common meal they're coming together for. Now, on the first day of the week, this is also, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul was ready to depart the next day. He stayed. Eutychus, later on that night, fell out of the window, and they brought him back from death. And they had a common meal. But that morning, and he stayed there all week so they could take the Lord's Supper. So that's another reason. So if you take all those together, those are the commandments that we must follow. The other commandment that we must follow is we have a plurality of elders. 1 Timothy 5:17, if you want to turn there. Pastors, let me say this without being argumentative. Pastors are leaders. Our pastors are Johnny and Bugs and Russell. They're our leaders. They lead this flock. And I'm not going to get on my pointing fingers or anything, but the eldership across this world is being perverted because it's not made up of how it should be in some places. I think for the most part it's still okay, and I'm not going any further than that. But anyway, it says, let the elders who rule, and this is in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders who rule be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and the doctrine. So that's what we have here. I think we got good elders that meet no matter what. They don't give up meeting for anyone or anybody, and I'm thankful for that. Let's go on with the fourth reason. Cowboys are playing at AT&T, and I know it's 25 to 7, but this is, to me, is more important. Okay. Fourth reason, and this is going to get a little deep here. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because I am in Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed yourself with Christ. To me, there's no other way that can happen than that. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. That's a very important scripture to remember as we go through that. So you clothe yourself with Christ. There's no other way. If I can sift through all these papers I've been sifting through, I have a very important article that I'd like to read you. Now, let me tell you, this is not from Phil Sanders. I Googled, where are all spiritual blessings? We had this talk the other night, and Scott, I think some of you are here, and I got plumb upset because it just blew me away. And I wasn't ready to really fully accept that, and I've been a member of the church a long time. And there is a preacher named Robert C. Oliver. And Robert C. Oliver says this, and you may find this interesting. The Apostle Paul, in his introduction to the epistle to the church at Ephesus, said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 3. If we had no other passage of Scripture that attributed any good end result of getting into Christ, then this one verse, we would still have ample motive to move in that direction. This verse tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Yet there are many passages that specify one or more individuals' blessings found therein. We shall note a few of these. However, before delving into many spiritual blessings found in Christ, we should certainly be amiss if we failed to mention up front just one, what one has to do to reach that location, and that's in Christ. So I'm going to tell you. There are only two verses that specifically state how we can get into Christ. This is not him. This is the Bible. Christ and one other that shows the same thing, but from a different angle. Paul told the Roman brethren, this is Bible, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. How do we get there? To the Galatians, he wrote, for as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. The third verse mentions is Corinthians 12:13, which says that we are baptized into his body. The way to get into Christ is to be baptized into Christ. You have to have help to misunderstand that. Now that's his version. I Googled all spiritual blessings are in Christ, and that's what I came up with. Now, listen to this, and I guarantee you there's some in here, and I'm not saying that I'm a scholar. I talked this over with a person here at church, and Scott Overstreet has said many times, all you got to do is plant the seed. And this guy was baptized that morning, and then we had a fellowship. But I said, he said, I was baptized a long time ago, but I don't know if I did the right thing. And I said, well, let's go to 19. Let's go to Acts chapter 19, the first five verses. Here's what happened there. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I'm going to add a little to that. Were you baptized for the right reason? Were you baptized for the remission of your sins? Were you baptized for that reason? So they say to him, we have not heard so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. In verse 3, he says, and he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So he said, into John's baptism. Now, this is the Bible. This ain't from Reverend Bob or Preacher Bob or anybody. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 4 and 1 through 4, and then I'm going to give the fifth reason. Therefore, the prison of the Lord beseech you. You walk, this is the Bible again, you walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, the spirit, and the bond in peace. This is the most important voice, and this is what N.L. Evans used to say, the one, the one, the one. And my daddy would repeat this. I remember it many a time. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, one hope of your calling. And there is one baptism. And I got that. Yeah. And when there's only one baptism. I didn't have the rest of that. But that's what the one hope, one faith, one spirit, and one baptism into Jesus Christ. The last reason I'm a Church of Christ is I'm a member because I'm a citizen in heaven. And we're going to close with this one. Philippians 3 and 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior. From there is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we do all the things, we're members of the Church of Christ because we are, and if we live faithful, we already have a citizenship in heaven. I didn't get up here to preach at anybody because I'm not perfect. I struggle every single day. And that's the truth. Struggle hard. Struggle with materialism. Struggle with wanting to stay here too long and not realizing this is my heavenly place. if we can help anybody in any way. We don't give this lesson to judge anybody. I'm preaching to the choir tonight. I know that. You're here on Sunday night. But we don't come up here to judge anybody or think we're better than anybody. But if we can help anybody in any way to baptize you tonight, or to if you need prayer, we'll play with you. So with that, I'm going to let Jim get up here and sing the invitation song.